Good morning, everyone. My name is Juan Gaitán, and I'm the Head of Investor Relations at Cellnex. I'm joined today by José Manuel Aisa, CFO and Head of M&A, who will lead today's presentation. I would like to thank you for joining us today for Cellnex First Half 2015 Results Conference Call. We have this morning posted a presentation which we will refer to throughout our prepared remarks under the Investor Relations section on our website, and then we'll open the line for a Q&A session. Now I'll hand over the line to José Manuel Aisa. Please, José Manuel.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for your time today, and please allow me to start by highlighting the main milestones of Cellnex performance for the first semester of 2015. We will start with slide number three. We are showing here a strong top-line growth due to our telecom site rental business performance, explained by sound organic growth with an increase of 4.5% in the semester and the contribution of our recent accretive acquisitions. This activity more than offsets temporary impacts from our broadcasting business, which we expect to bring back to normalized levels from next year. We have also paved the way for further future organic growth by signing contracts with new customers, such as wireless broadband operators in the telecom site rental area, as well as new and improved terms for future renewals with existing customers. Uncertainties surrounding our broadcasting business have completely disappeared, as the risk of loss of eight additional TV channels is gone now, and the re-tendering of capacity linked to TV channel shutdown last year is on track. We have also taken the first step of our future efficiency program, details of which will be presented in the second semester results of 2015, carrying out a number of initiatives in key operating areas with very encouraging results, offering, for instance, paybacks of around 3-5 years. Also, we keep generating cash at a strong pace, 35% increase in terms of recurring levered free cash flow, while controlling our CapEx needs with a strict criteria. We have successfully issued our inaugural bond, thus creating a stable capital structure for the long term at a competitive cost and removing, at the same time, any covenant that could constrain our future growth. After this bond issue, our average cost of the debt stands at 2.2% on average. Finally, in light of recent development and our view of the medium term, we have revised upwards our full year 2015 adjusted EBITDA guidance to around 235 million euros, ahead of the current market consensus. If we go to slide number four, please. Business performance, telecom site rental. During the first months of 2015, we have set the foundations for the solid organic growth, with potential for 15 million euros of additional revenues associated to increased commercial activity and new contracts signed. In the telecom site rental business, we have achieved the following goals. First, 7,677 new towers acquired in the period, with 300 towers acquired from Telefónica in January 2015, and 7,377 towers acquired from Wind as of March 2015. The integration plan of these new portfolios is currently on track. Second, we have also been active optimizing our portfolio with 10 new sites built, 75 sites decommissioned, and 54 sites which now have a dual use after serving telecom rental customers from them. Third, in terms of commercial activity, Cellnex has reached an agreement with a non-anchor tenant over a 10-year period in order to renew the terms of its current contracts as they expire. The new tariff scheme has already been defined, with potential revenues of around 4 million euros and 700 POPs to be renewed over the 2015-2018 period. Fourth, Cellnex has also reached an agreement with a wireless broadband operator by which it will make use of our portfolio of towers with a project scope of up to 1,500 POPs and 350 POPs that have already expected in 2015. The positive annual impact in revenues from this agreement can reach up to 11 million euros. We are also negotiating with utilities companies and public entities the possibility to obtain preferential rights in order to install new telecom sites on both land and rooftop owned by these entities. And finally, we are also actively analyzing new rationalization, in other words, decommissioning projects with multiple of the operators that are looking for operating expenditures reductions with a potential for at least 2,000 towers in the next semesters. Slide number 5, business performance, broadcast and network services and others. And here the main message is that we are glad to confirm that the risk of loss of 8 additional TV channels has completely disappeared after the Supreme Court's decision to definitely close the case. This loss would have resulted in a negative impact of revenues of circa 40 million euros on a full year basis. Cellnex is also expecting the recovery of around 35 million euros per annum coming from the retender of 1.75 national DTT multiplexes if the service starts the 1st of January 2016. This process is well on track with 13 companies bidding for 6 TV channels. These licenses are expected to be awarded by October this year and expected to be operated from early 2016. We have also renewed 2 DTT contracts with national broadcasters representing 20 million euros per year and a backlog increase of 85 million euros. It is important to highlight that these renewals have been made with no change on the current average price per multiplex, and at the same time, this pricing mechanism is linked to CPI. Our current national DTT average contract life reaches 4 years when the maximum possible is 5 years. Finally, in the network services and others area, we have extended a public protection and disaster relief network contract with an associated backlog increase of 9 million euros. We are also analyzing new projects in the area of Internet of Things. Moving to slide number 6, cost efficiencies. We are working hard on this front and looking to present our new efficiency program during H2. Today, our first step in different operating areas are yielding excellent results, which we expect to consolidate and extend to other areas across our cost base. As examples of these actions we are undertaking, we have just started a ground lease contract renegotiation program analyzing more than 200 projects, which is offering paybacks of 3.5 years. These programs consist of a mix between price renegotiation of the annual lease and upfront payments in exchange of lease extensions and lease reductions. We are also upgrading our radio frequency connectivity network in order to make a more efficient use of the spectrum and therefore achieving savings in spectrum fees, as well as improving the energy consumption in our sites. Slide number 7, and looking at our key performance indicators, we have increased the total number of sites during the first semester to 15,140, mainly due to our last transaction in Italy. We have also increased our tenancy ratio in Spain, 5% compared to December 2014, thanks to the addition of more tenants and the decommissioning process of our own sites in order to achieve a more efficient network. Our tenancy rate in Italy decreases due to the dilution impact from the last transaction carried out in Italy. It is worth highlighting that as of June 2015, our telecom site rental activity represents 44% of our total revenues, with this share expected to reach half of our business by the end of 2015, as the full year effect of our last transaction and our focus to keep growing in this area, both organically and inorganically, is reflected in our figures. Flipping to slide number 8, tenancy ratio in the telecom site rental. You can see here the evolution of sites, POPs, and the resulting consolidated tenancy ratio for Cellnex, with the impact from inorganic growth explaining the main changes. Despite this effect, we have continued to optimize our network through decommissioning and managed to grow organically by adding tenants in the two countries where we are present. During the period, we have increased the number of POPs by 4.5% in just 6 months, with even new POPs on Galata Towers in just 3 months of operations. I would like to say to you that we think that the company is presenting a very strong organic growth. In the next slide, we have separated contribution from organic growth in our adjusted EBITDA for a more visual explanation. I think we will be able to see this in slide 11. Slide number 9, in the meantime, income statement. Let me now please spend some time on our income statement in detail. Looking to revenues, we have suffered the negative impact from the shutdown of 19 TV channels that took place in May 2014. But however, this effect has been offset by the simulcast broadcast on the same content on two different frequencies carried out during the first 3 months of 2015. Please take into account that this is a one-off effect in the year. Telecom sale rental increased mainly due to inorganic growth, with additional contribution from all our recent transactions, both in Spain and Italy. Network services and other increases when compared to last year as well. Moving to OPEX, we have a very well-contained cost base with a flat performance on a like-for-like basis. The increase you can see on our P&L is mainly due to cost linked to our recent acquisitions, incremental costs which are treated as pass-through, and also non-recurring items. As the year progresses, we expect efficiencies to become even more visible on our P&L. After adding back these non-recurring items and non-cash effects, our adjusted EBITDA reaches 115 million euros, a strong 26% increase when compared to the same period last year. Depreciation and amortization increases 31 million euros as a result of our recent acquisitions, and income tax decreases as a result of the optimization measures carried out during the year. Cellnex net profit reaches 18 million euros, decreasing when compared to last year due to the effects already explained, that is, the one-off effects, non-recurring items, and secondly, the prudent depreciation and amortization policy of the company. On a like-for-like basis, this net profit attributable to the parent would have been 34 million euros without this FX instead of 18 million euros. Finally, the increase in non-M&A expansion CAPEX is explained by the works carried out in the context of DTT, 5 million euros, which also translates into more revenues in the period as explained earlier. Slide number 10 shows the financial performance regarding the telecom site rental revenues, and you can see how the existing asset base contributes 4 million euros on organic growth basis. We do think that these 4 million euros represent a strong organic performance. On top of that, inorganic growth, or in other words, M&A growth, represent 77 million euros of revenues. All these details can be or have been explained in the Excel sheet that you will be able to find also in our website. Moving to slide 11, I'm talking about adjusted EBITDA. As you know, adjusted EBITDA is calculated as profit from operations before depreciation and amortization and after adding back advance to customers and certain non-recurring items. As you can see in this graph, the adjusted EBITDA has suffered a one-off impact due to the channel's shutdown, but also you can see that the M&A activity represents 29 million euros of adjusted EBITDA in 2015, first semester, and on top of that, you can see that from an organic growth perspective, the company has been able to generate 4 million euros of more EBITDA. As a result, our adjusted EBITDA 2015 first semester accounts for 115 million euros. In the next slide, we will be able to assess the adjusted EBITDA margin. As you know, as of June 2014, our EBITDA margin accounted for 43%, and on a like-for-like basis, without M&A impacts and without one-off impacts on broadcasts, you can see that our adjusted EBITDA margin as of June 2015 is 44%. That is 1% margin increase over existing tower base as of 2014. This is due to our strong operating leverage. As a result of the impacts previously explained, the adjusted EBITDA margin for the first semester 2015 is diluted to 40%. We expect that once the one-off impacts from broadcast disappear and also we improve our performance on Galata, our adjusted EBITDA margin will increase in the next semesters. Moving now to slide 13 and talking about the recurring levered free cash flow, it is important to note that our strong growth in adjusted EBITDA represents 26% increase and even stronger in recurring levered free cash flow with a 36% increase. Additionally, we have managed to keep our sound cash conversion ratio of 98% in terms of recurring operating free cash flow and 89% in terms of recurring levered free cash flow, even with temporary negative impacts from our broadcasting unit. Our working capital change remains very low and cash tax decreases due to the already mentioned focus on tax optimization. Maintenance CapEx has been very low during the first semester, although the situation is expected to reverse during the second half of the year to normalize levels. Finally, M&A CapEx increases due to our last transactions, Galata, and the phase 2 of Volta Extended. Regarding our shareholder remuneration, and as you can read in this slide, it is our current intention to pay out our first dividend during the last part of this year, corresponding to at least 20% of our recurring levered free cash flow from our results for the second half of this year. Please also note that this dividend has to be commensurate also with our leverage profile, our growth strategy, and net profit attributable to the parent. Next slide, moving to our balance sheet. Cellnex is increasing the size of its total assets by approximately 1 billion euros due to the impact of Galata and the other acquisitions. As you can see also here, our goodwill is only increasing by 71 million euros, following our very prudent purchase price allocation policy. Our total equity has remained similar to 2014, and the change is mainly due to the net profit. Moreover, we have increased our total borrowings by 777 million euros in order to accomplish our acquisitions. As of June 2015, our leverage ratio was in line with our long-term leverage target of 4x net debt EBITDA. In slide 15, financial performance. As you know, the 20th of July, we successfully completed our inaugural debt capital market transaction with a 600 million euro bond with a 7-year maturity and coupon of 3.12%. The bond was 6x oversubscribed in a very challenging market conditions. We have managed to carry out these transactions in this market volatility, and we think that at the same time achieving an excellent result. Our capital structure, as you can see in slide 16, has changed significantly, and we have managed to extend our maturities at a competitive price, remove all of our covenants. Also, we have not only removed covenants but also guarantees. We have also partially hedged our interest rates and at the same time diversified our source of funding. This creates the right platform to execute M&A projects, which are analyzed under strict value creation criteria with a view to maximize the great free cash flow per share while minimizing the potential for capital increases. Slide 17, M&A activity update. Just a quick look now to our recent M&A track record. With our last transformational deal in Italy, just 4 months ago, we have managed to acquire an average of 3,000 towers per annum during the last 4 years. As an update on Galata, the entity is performing as per our projections with an expected full-year EBITDA of 62 million euros, which implies an acquisition multiple of 12.4 times in terms of enterprise value EBITDA. As you can see in this slide, we commit at the time of the IPO with a very clear EBITDA performance regarding Galata, and we are already delivering this result to the market and shareholders. As you know, we keep extremely active analyzing new M&A opportunities in order to make the most of the European tower outsourcing opportunity as a way to maximize value creation for our shareholders. Financial outlook, next slide, guidance for full year 2015 in terms of adjusted EBITDA. As you can see, we are changing our guidance for 2015, and let me explain to you how we are able to reach to 235 million euros of adjusted EBITDA for full year 2015. It's very important to explain that there are partial effects that need to be understood in order to properly project our medium-term performance. First, this first semester includes, among other recurring activities, 3 months of simulcast, which is a one-off, 3 months only of Galata, and 5 months only of phase 2 of Project Volt Extended, During the second half, we will see 6 months of both phase two of both Ascendit and also Galata. This, coupled with expected organic growth and further cost contention, will leave our full-year adjusted EBITDA for 2015 at around 235 million euros, above the current market consensus. In order to project 2016, we expect to recover around 35 million euros of revenues linked to the retendering of TV capacity. Simulcast contribution in 2015 must be removed, and the contribution of 3 additional months of Galata and 1 additional month of Volta Extended 2 must be included. Next slide, slide 19. As a reminder of additional items to be considered when assessing our full year 2015 results, we not only expect our adjusted EBITDA to reach around 235 million euros, but also our maintenance CapEx should represent circa 3.5% of total revenues. Our working capital change should tend to neutral, and both interest paid and tax paid for the second semester should be similar to the amounts paid in the first semester. And finally, slide 20, just a reminder of Cellnex's main highlights of the first semester 2015. First, we have managed to show a strong performance in the telecom site rental business based on organic growth and accretive acquisitions. Second, uncertainties surrounding our broadcasting business have completely disappeared. Third, we have taken the first step of our future efficiency program with encouraging results as of today. Fourth, we keep generating cash while strict controlling our CapEx. Five, we have successfully issued our inaugural bond, creating a stable capital structure for the long term at a competitive cost without any covenant. And finally, and as a result of a good performance, we have revised our full year 2015 adjusted EBITDA guidance to circa 235 million euros. And with this, I would like to open the line for answer your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. First question comes from Nick Brown from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks. I've got 3 questions, please. Firstly, do you think it's possible to sustain the organic growth in telecoms you saw in the first half into the second half in 2016? And is this the main area where you're performing better than you originally expected? Secondly, following the INWIT IPO in Italy and the Telefonica Deutschland tower deal with Deutsche Telekom, do you think it's still possible for you to participate in major M&A in these markets in the near term, or is your focus more in Spain at the moment? And lastly, is it reasonable to expect you can recover broadcasting revenues from the reallocation of the 6 TV channel licenses by the 1st of January 2016, or could it take until the end of the first quarter? Thank you.
Okay, let's start with your first question. Your first question was regarding organic growth in 2016. You are right when you say that the first semester of 2015 has shown a very strong organic growth. Hopefully, in fact, we are working to sustain this organic growth in the next semesters. But it's something that we cannot right now assure to you. What we can tell you is that the company is fully focused on organic growth and is trying to reach several agreements with different clients. And hopefully we will be able to present to you some good results also in the next semesters. Regarding your second question, you talk about INWIT and you talk about Telefonica in Germany. Let me tell you that Cellnex is focused on whole Europe, and there are some potential transactions that are visible and others that are not visible, and we are paying attention to all of them. And these non-visible potential transactions are not only focused on Spain, but also in other European countries. So again, the company is also working in this regard. And as you know, M&A in this field takes time, requires scouting, requires explaining very well to different stakeholders what the value of Cellnex can bring to the table. This takes time. But however, as you have been able to see our track record, we commit and deliver. And I'm pretty sure that we will be able to execute some transactions, maybe not all of them very visible right now. And also, let me remind you that for us it's very important to meet our investment criteria, our golden rules. So it's not only a question of having a clear target, it's a question of meeting the criteria of value creation for our shareholders and at the same time, cash flow visibility for our bondholders. And finally, your third question was regarding broadcasting. As commented before, the deadlines defined by the Spanish government as of April 2015 are in time. The process is on track. It's very difficult for me to tell you that we will have 1.75 multiplexes working from January the 1st or from December the 1st, 2015 or from February the 1st, 2016. It's extremely difficult. What I can tell you is that the company is fully prepared to bring back these revenues as soon as possible. And so far, this process is working very well.
That's great. Very helpful. Thank you.
Welcome.
Next question comes from Fernando Cordero from Banco Santander. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Good morning. I have two questions, and the first one is related with your financial performance during the second quarter, in which I believe the performance of the company can be better extrapolated to the second half. And in that sense, I would like to know what is the EBITDA generated during the second quarter. And the second question is related with as a follow-up on the organic growth. Your tenancy ratio has clearly increased in Spain in the first half. And in that sense, I would like to know at which extent you have benefited from the extraordinary situation related with the 4G rollout of some of the players in 800 MHz. Do you believe that this activity in rolling out 4G has just took place in the first half, or is it still being present in the second half or indeed in the year 2016? Thank you.
You're very welcome, Fernando. I will try to answer both questions at the same time because I think somehow they are related. As you suggest, Fernando, the company is performing well also because our clients are making their investments and are working well also. But let me remind you a very important thing, Fernando. In terms of organic growth, the company does not only depend on the deployment policy of the 4G, of the networks, but also on the decommissioning or rationalization propositions that we are working on. In the slide number 4, Fernando, we are raising a very important point, and we are suggesting that currently the company is working with several opportunities in both Spain and Italy that represent a potential of 2,000 towers to be decommissioned or rationalized in the next semesters. So I think that Cellnex is well prepared not only to benefit from the MNOs deployment, 4G deployment, but also from the rationalization or dismantling projects that we are working on. And your first question, Fernando, was in terms of the second term of the year. So I understand your question was from March to June,
right?
2015,
right?
I would say to you that this business is quite lumpy. Okay, this is not a steady growth. And when we talk to our clients, maybe it takes time until we are able to close some organic growth transactions. That is quite lumpy. So, for instance, you can have some terms in which you increase your growth more than others. But, however, talking about this semester of 2015, talking about this 4.5% of organic growth, I think that in the next terms, this growth is sustainable. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next question comes from Octavio Aderecio from Societe Generale. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning. I have a couple of questions, and it's actually both on slide number 4. The first is a follow-up from the previous answer. It's on this rationalization project you mentioned. Now, the 2,000 towers mentioned in the slides, I assume that they're not towers that you operate, but towers of potential clients of yours that could decommission towers and bring POPs into your network. Now, which sort of time frame are we talking about? You talk about semester or semesters, and could you give us a sort of flavor in terms of which sort of decommission cost you would bear for that and the sort of payback for these projects? The second question relates to the framework agreements. It's possible to have a bit of granularity. The first one is the non-anchor tenant renewal. There is a $4 million additional in revenue, so I assume that the rent has increased. And I was wondering if it's just because of recovery inflations, the increase due to more service provided, or other factors. And the third is the wireless broadband operator we mentioned here. Is that a wireless operator, or is basically a different nature of operator? Thanks.
Thank you very much for your questions. First question, you were talking about the tower operators, and the answer is yes. The answer is yes to your question. I would say to you that in terms of the timing, I am clearly suggesting semesters, so it's several semesters. It's not only, I think this is a long-term work. We're working with different angles, and it takes time. So I think that this semester, the current semester, maybe we see something, but for sure the first semester of 2016, we should be able to see another, let's say, effort, step up. When you talk about the cost and the payback, well, we is the same info we share with you at the time of the IPO. Our dismantling cost is around 25,000-30,000 euros per site dismantle. And the payback, when you ask about the paybacks, this is something that is quite, we would like to be very prudent regarding paybacks, but let me suggest to you that it's not only a question of payback, it's a question of payback in relation with the underlying contract, with the timing of underlying contract. So payback can be very short if your underlying contract is short, but payback can be more if your underlying contract is longer. So it's something that when presenting to you the results of these rationalization projects, we would like to present to you both outcomes to make comparable the effects. This was regarding your first question. Your second question was regarding framework agreements. There is some noise in the line. I don't know if everyone could put the mute. Okay, thank you. Regarding the framework agreements, you are right. The non-anchor tenant renewal has implicitly a very clear tariff scheme. A new tariff scheme, which implies more tariff, okay? So, well, there are several reasons. At the end of the day, obviously, what I can tell you is that this new tariff scheme, or the previous tariff scheme, was not optimized, and this new tariff scheme is now fully optimized. And this is a very good example of Cellnex delivering value not only to clients, but also to the shareholders in the long term. As we have explained before, this is an industrial company, a neutral carrier, independent carrier, which allow us to give value to our customers and therefore creating value for shareholders. And this kind of framework agreements can only be reached between an independent company and the MNOs. Your third question was about the wireless broadband operators. I would like to tell you that this This is not an MNO. In fact, this is a free company. Okay, and that's all. We are trying to be very prudent and very info we have to share with the market at the same time, not to disclose many things that we shouldn't disclose. Okay.
Next question comes from Hamas Kelly from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. I've got two questions, please. The first question is on Italian wireless consolidation. I saw an article, I think, on Bloomberg just a week ago saying that Vimpelcom and Hutch are closer to completing a deal in Italy and that an announcement could come over the next couple of weeks. Could you just say what opportunities you feel this deal could present to you in terms of perhaps buying towers off the MergeCo or maybe winning secondary tenants as some towers are decommissioned by the Italian MergeCo, assuming that deal does go ahead? And in the event that an Italian merger does happen, clearly INWIT, I guess, would be interested in bidding for towers or bidding for opportunities, and what advantage you think you might have over INWIT in that scenario? That's my first question. And then the second question, a little bit easier, it's on expansion CapEx. Where do you see your focus here in the next couple of years? Is it really on decommissioning, as you were suggesting today, or is there also build-to-suit and maybe Internet of Things as well? Thank you.
Let me start answering your questions by the last one. Yes, I think that our focus in the next semesters regarding expansion CapEx will be decommissioning. This is the key point for us. This is the key point. There will be, of course, other things like build-to-suit. There will be also Internet of Things, because you know, and you can find this in the IOM, in the Folleto. This information is very clearly explained. We have a company that, from a diversified technological perspective, we are working on the same and the next generation of technology, which is Internet of Things, which is, so of course there will be some expansion CapEx, but the main bulk of the volume will come from the commissioning, as you were suggesting, and we are presenting in the first slides of these results. Now, talking about your first question, and your first question had two parts. First part is the impact of potential mergers among these two Italian MNOs. So I would suggest all of you to go to slide number 25 of the presentation that is called European Consolidation. And what you can read here is a very clear message that obviously these potential mergers have some challenges for us, but also opportunities. And we, as you can imagine, when we started the Galata project, we were fully aware of this potential merger between H3G and Wind in Italy, and obviously we are fully prepared for not only respecting our current value from this contract, but also obtaining new value from the merger. And these are, for us, is crucial. This is a positive challenge for Cellnex. Let me recall that our contracts are fully protected against any merger. This is the first main concept. And second, we do think that Cellnex is very well positioned to design an optimal network, to acquire new assets, provide further services, and also to carry out a very important, let's say, role in the merger potential synergies that may arise. So when executing M&A transactions, we try to position ourselves not only fully protect from a value perspective with the deal we are working on, but also we try to be well positioned to capture more value. You were suggesting acquiring new towers. You are right, but also backhauling services or other things that are explained in slide number 25. So yes, as you can see, fully prepared for this new scenario that we are welcoming and that will give us, I think, more opportunities to show to the market that a neutral carrier or independent carrier as Cellnex can provide value to the shareholders in very different scenarios that initially could be the target challenge. So This is a step we were expecting for. If it happens, we are fully prepared. And then you were also talking about INWIT. INWIT, and as I said before, other opportunities throughout Europe are part of our potential M&A activity. But I can tell you that the company is fully involved in several potential transactions in Northern Europe also, in, I would say to you, other Southern countries, and not only in Italy, not only in England. So it's very important to remind, to recall that Cellnex has a very clear M&A golden rules, and we have to commit with all the deals, these golden rules.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, we remind you, in order to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Max Gilbert from New Street Research. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi there. Thank you very much for taking my question. I just have one on small cells. So I just wanted to know what Cellnex's strategy is on small cells and how you believe there may be an opportunity or a threat to the demand of the macro towers.
Okay, thank you for your question. The small cells, and as we have explained in other forums, represents what we call towering 2.0. So currently we are working on towering 1.0. In the future, a tower or a traffic light can become a tower. For instance, this is an example. So the thing is that the company, Cellnex, is monitoring the new technologies, and especially those technologies that are complementary to our current towering business model. And we are doing so because in our lives, smartphones, iPads, iPhones, Androids are becoming an essential part of our day-by-day way of living. So Cellnex is fully prepared and is working in detail different technologies in order to be prepared for this towering 2.0. So yes, but this takes time. I mean, this is nothing we can say to you tomorrow we will be ready. No, this takes time. Again, we have a very important department focused on scouting, focused on developing these new opportunities, and I'm pretty sure that in next years you will be able to realize that Cellnex has made also a good job regarding technological diversification in terms of risk.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Next question comes from Americo Ghilotti from Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, it's Domenico Ghilotti. My first question is on your organic performance in POPs. In particular, if you can elaborate a little bit more on, say, how much of this is coming from Italy compared to Spain, and how much is coming from MNOs compared to other operators. And the second question is related to M&A. I wonder if broadcast towers are also of interest for you, and I'm not talking just of Italy, but also to other countries.
Thank you very much for your questions. Regarding the first question, this consolidated data that we are presenting in slide number 4 is not only, as you are suggesting, for Spain, but also for Italy. Please, when asking for a splitting between both countries, it's very important to recall that Galata Towers were acquired as of March the 26th. So obviously, we are as of now talking. We are talking about the results as of June 30, 2015. So the main bulk of this growth is coming from Spain. However, as I have already said during the presentation, in only 3 months, we have been able to increase the tenancy ratio of our Italian towers. Okay. You are also asking about the nationality of the wireless broadband operator. This is something I would like to keep for ourselves. Maybe we can provide you further details in next semesters or Q3 presentation, but so far I would like to keep it on a consolidated basis for both countries, but let me tell you that step by step, both countries are performing very well, not only Spain. And finally, you were asking for M&A opportunities in the broadband, in the broadcasting sector. I would like to tell you that broadcasting is for us not the, I would say, the first target. It's a second target. We explained this very well in the folleto documentation that we prepared for the IPO. And as we said, the broadcasting companies were potential target, yes. However, were not our priority targets. Okay. The company is fully focused on telecom site rental. In obviously, if we have to acquire some broadcasting because this is a mean to obtain telecom site rental, we might, and I say might do it, but our target is value creation through telecom site rental.
Thank you. May I have just a follow-up on your dividend policy? If I understood properly, you will pay the dividend, you are ready to pay a dividend in already in the second half, so probably end of this year, based on the expectation of the recurring level free cash flow, so up to 20% of the recurring level free cash flow expected in the second half. Is it correct?
Yes, okay. You are correct. What we are trying to explain is the following. We would like to pay 20% of our second semester recurring levered free cash flow. And when we will pay this dividend, we'll pay this dividend in October or November or first days of December 2015. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You are very welcome.
Next question comes from Jonathan Dan from Royal Bank of Canada. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi there. I was looking at page 18, and I was trying to build a bridge to 2016. So if I need to add the additional Galata, the Muxes, deduct simulcast, and then am I right in thinking I get to about 274 million? And then on top of that, you've got the 1,500, you know, some proportion of the 1,500 pops plus the 400, some proportion of the 1,500 pops that you've already done, 498, some proportion of the 4 million that you talked about. So net-net, you know, as we sit today with no additional growth, you're on track to deliver, say, 280 plus million EBITDA. Have I understood that correctly?
Well, that is the thing that you are working on the very well direction, yes.
Okay, so if you add new business, you'll do better than that.
Let me tell you that these 235 million euros, as presented in previous slide, have already some organic growth. So obviously, if our organic growth is small, the outcome you were suggesting should be a little bit more. Yes.
Oh, excellent! Thank you very much. Oh, sorry.
No, thanks to you, but step by step. I mean, there will be time to talk about that, of course.
Oh, excellent. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
There are no further questions. Thank you.
Okay. So...
Yes, I think we're done. If we have no further questions, I think it should be the end of the call. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for attending. And have a great